Well, welcome to Plateau's Worship once again. My name is Chung-Ho Kwon. I'm one of the associate pastors here. Welcome all of you here in Worship Center and all of you attending on service and online. We got too much fun today so far. I don't know how I can continue this this time. And if this is your first visiting to Plattwoods on Palm Sunday, it's our first impression, right? I'm going to talk about first experience today. You know how first means special in our life. First day, first date, first meeting, and first anniversary. And first is always special. And I remember that the quotes from the astronaut who put up their staff for the first time on the moon in human history said, "There's one small step for human and one giant leap for humankind." The implication of first step is not small. We consider it the kind of leap for the next stage or next round of our life. If you are a parent, think about the day your baby took the first step. One day, your baby was just cooing and babbling and kicking their little feet and also relying on you for every single thing. And the next day, you found a walking, talking, opinionated, independent baby called toddler on your hands, and your life is totally changed. And I remember that I just blinked, and my baby boys grew up. Now they are 21 and 17 years old, not months. They're bigger and taller than me. Regardless of how big they are, I still remember when they were little. The day they changed my life. When they were walking around the house, I have to remove all those potential hazardous items in the house and wrap all corners or this kind of corners at a table. And I had to do everything I could do. And I believe the day I took my first step, the life of my parents also changed. They never talked about it to me. Yeah, I know. The day's coming. Since the day you first moved your first step, you are walking around, moving around. I heard the average adult will walk almost 75,000 miles over their lifetime, the equivalent of traveling around the world three times. We walk and we move around, and some people walk more, some people less. We do for exercise, we walk to go to work or see the world, and we walk to meet people and make friends. And this morning, you and I walked into this worship service. And as you saw, today we celebrate Palm Sunday. We cannot think of Palm Sunday without the parade happened a long time ago in Jesus' time, and also Palm Sunday parade usually happening in most churches in this morning with children and their families. In the Gospels, we can find Jesus walked a lot. That was only transportation he had. It was also tool of his ministry. And even some kids answered earlier, even he walked on water. When Jesus was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we heard a huge crowd walked and gathered to meet Jesus on Palm Sunday. It was a very, very unique day. It said, Jesus, it's all right. Jesus always, you know, walked around, but on that day, he rode a donkey. It was a symbolic right to fulfill a prophet's word in Old Testament. And except that Palm Sunday, Jesus walked into Jerusalem even during the Holy Week. He stayed outside of Jerusalem. Maybe hotel was a little cheaper. And he walked in Jerusalem each day. And even the day he moved to crucified on the way to the Golgotha, he walked and he carried his own cross. It has been a year and a half since my first visit to the Holy Land. When I went down there, I found two most meaningful places. First place is called the Town of Jesus, the city named Capernaum. That's where Jesus met his disciples, called them, and stayed them and taught in the synagogue. Without knowing the story of Jesus, it's just a rubble, just rocks and ruins, nothing kind of make it look like really meaningful. But when I walked on the way, I felt, oh, I am where Jesus walked. That made me more meaningful. And I was breathing the air he breathed. After that, my meaningful and emotional experience, a couple of days later, we moved to the next place called Jerusalem. I passed a checkpoint, walked into the place Jerusalem Temple was located. Then I walked on the road known as Via Dolorosa, translated as Way of Suffering. It is a processional route into the old city of Jerusalem. It presents the path that Jesus took, forced by the Roman soldiers on the way to his crucifixion. So I walked on the route, the winding route from former Antonia Fortress to the Church of Holy Sepulchre, which is less than a half mile. And there was many other Christian pilgrims from all different places. The route was repaved for many times. Nothing original seemed to be remained there of Jesus. It was just a busy road, and lots of people were there. Some people looked serious. Some people looked very excited. To me, the day I visited that walked on Via Dolorosa was not like the time of Jesus' suffering. I felt like a Palm Sunday parade. People were walking on this Via Dolorosa. And I thought that might be the way Jesus felt on the day. Crowd gathered and shouted the praise of Hosanna. But he might think these people are the people who are going to say, week later, crucify him. Jesus was not too much excited, not discouraged. I believe he knew and he thought the purpose of his walk on the day. The Palm Sunday is a day reminding us why we come to Jesus and why we walk with him in the world. And yeah, that was my first visiting to Jerusalem. To me, my Jerusalem is here because this is where God's salvation happens in my life. This is where I see God's presence whenever I meet people, whenever I walk into someone's life. So this is my Jerusalem. I don't know how you feel today. We are just a week ahead of Easter. Before we celebrate the joy of Easter, hope you think about what you celebrate, why you celebrate today here on Palm Sunday worship. I love to walk for a couple of reasons. First, I check how many steps I took each day, and my goal, 8,000 steps. How many of you walk 8,000 steps a day? Can I see your hands? Not many, all right. And I checked my health app that I usually made like 5 days a week for the 8,000 steps. I belong to 10% of my age group. I'm very good in that covering that number, whether you believe it or not. And that's only exercise I usually do, so I have time to do that. The second reason I love to walk is that I like to walk with my wife, Hannah, and you know, we usually go out after supper to walk, go to a park and walk, or walk our dog. That's the kind of first time of the day we can have a conversation. We are busy during the day. We are walking to two different places and have dinner together. And then we go out, finally have a chance to talk. So that's why we love time of walk. And another reason I love to walk is when I feel I really need that. What I mean is, when I am really, I feel my mind is so busy, complicated, or before I have to make an important decision. When I am aggravated or become too emotional. When I cannot sit in prayer. When my next sermon does have no progress. That's the time I have to go out to walk. Every walk is different. Sometimes I walk really fast to empty my mind. Sometimes walk slowly just to think and also to pray. After 30-40 minute walk, I can have a smile back to my face regardless of how I was mad before I started walking. Sometimes I walk with intentional prayers, simple prayers. Sometimes just talking to God in silence. And many times I felt God changed my mind, emotion, thought, and or made me forgive myself or others. Sometimes also, for those very productive walk days, a new thought, a new sermon comes out during my walk. And I guess that's how Jesus prepared his great sermons. In the gospel, Jesus was always surrounded by people. He didn't have his own pastor's office. He didn't have a tablet or whatever he can use for writing down. Where did he write those great sermons we can read in the gospels? Only time I can guess is when he walked around, when he moved around. He knew probably how to use those time, how walk is productive in his ministry. Walking was the way Jesus prayed, worked, and also rested. He said in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus was an authentic preacher and teacher. He showed his disciples the way of pilgrimage and he lived it. Following Jesus, living a full life in Jesus, is to walk with him and work with him. It is to learn his rhythm of grace. He promised he won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on us when we follow him. He just wants us to keep company with him, walk with him. Then we will learn to live freely and lightly. And he already took his first step. It became a giant leap of faith to all who follow Jesus even 2,000 years later. Through this season of Lent, we have learned the practices of disciplines in spiritual life. Which are the ways of walking with Jesus? Actually, they are not new. They have been practiced by many Christian pilgrims who followed Jesus, who wanted to walk with him. They devoted themselves to God and the work of the meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. And they understood the pilgrimage of Jesus' followers in seeking the process of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service in their life. And they also prioritized the attitudes of confession, worship, celebration of life, and ask guidance. Jesus promised the fruits of these disciplines is to live freely and lightly, and I believe that's the full life in Christ. Well, let me conclude this message. Through the practice of spiritual disciplines, you can walk with Him and talk with Him and work with Him, and it's a calling to a pilgrimage. It is a calling to be a part of His greater vision. We at Plattwoods Church believe each of us has an opportunity and responsibility to go into the world, a walk with Him and work with Him. Make the world a little less scary, a little more united, and a lot more kind and helpful. And we believe we are called to go through the acts of mercy and justice and pilgrimage. I hope you think about and plan a pilgrimage into new or unusual places where you can explore, where God is calling you and what God is calling you to do. A pilgrimage can be alone or in community, can include a variety of experiences, such as a trip to a local supermarket to pick up canned goods for those in need, a monthly trip in our outreach partner like Hillcrest or Lazarus Table, and picking up trash and litter on the side of Prairie View Road, or an annual outreach trip to Pine Ridge Reservation. Let me tell you more about this Pine Ridge Indian Reservation summer trip dated June 15th through 22. Is that right, Stan and Linda? Great. It should become a great pilgrimage. The team worked alongside local leaders and partners of the Pine Ridge Bear Program to kick off summer camp for the children of Pine Ridge. Those participants also have chance to take part in small renovation project or other service activity that will help support our local partners. And also in April, we have a Guatemala spring surf trip is coming. As the pastor Evie is on the way, right, for that. The purpose of this pilgrimage is to support the work of organization for the development of indigenous Mayan families. And you can learn and hear more about this upcoming days. It's going to be a fun and a meaningful pilgrimage in your life. Each of these examples of pilgrimage and provide you and ways to deepen your connection to God and expand your faith. Pilgrimage, your walk, is a path to yourself, to God, and to the world. After this service, you may have chance to go downstairs to do the prayer walk, prayer reverence. Prayer reverence is go into the circle. When you walk in, you are moving into the presence of God. And then that's not the end of prayer. You're going to move out of this circle and you are moving back to the world. I hope you walk daily, check the steps, how many you take, and also walk with God. Also walk with others. In your practice of walk, you could learn what Jesus said, that unforced rhythm of grace. Will you pray with me? We trust the promise of Jesus, O God. We want to walk with Him and work with Him. And give us courage and strength to practice the spiritual disciplines we've learned and respond to your call to our pilgrimage. And we believe it is an invitation to full life journey in your grace, no heavy laden. In Christ we pray. Amen.